Today's daf is Chulin daf Yud Zayin. We are about 10 lines from the bottom of daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis. So the Mishnah on daf Tes Vav Amid Beis said, HaKoil Shoichtim, Ula'olam Shoichtim, U'Bakol Shoichtim. Rashi said, Kulu Mefarash B'Gemara. So we're up to that Gemara right now. Says the Gemara, HaKol Shoichtim, what's that coming to teach us? HaKoil B'Shchita, that all animals need shchita, afilu oif, meaning there would have been a havamida that only a behema needs shchita. The chiddush is that an oif needs shchita as well. Lo oilam shaychtim, what's that coming to teach me? Says the Gemara, Mantana, who's the Tana of this Mishnah? Amar Rabbi, Rabbi Yishmael, it's Rabbi Yishmael, the Tanya, we learned in a classic braisa. It says in the Torah, Ki yarchiv Hashem alaykecha es gvulcha kasha diberlach, v'yamarta oichla basar, So this pasuk is in Parshas Re'eh, and the pasuk is somewhat unclear. And as we'll see, there was a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, exactly how to learn this pasuk. And they were mefarish the context of the pasuk, mikotze el akotze, literally diametrically opposed to each other. So again, what does the pasuk say? The context is the Yidra and the Midbar. This is Mishnah Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Klal Yisrael. You're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to have Harchava, Kasha Dibelach, like Hashem promised. V'yomarta, you're going to say, Oichla Basa, Ichveles in flesh, Ki Ta'ave Nafshecha Lecha Basa. Because you're going to have a taiva. Simple. You're going to want to eat meat. It's something that you're allowed to do. The next pasuk, when you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, with this harchavas agvol, you're going to want to eat meat, but you're also going to be far away from the makom hamikdash. You should shecht mipkarcha umitzoincha asher nosan Hashem lecha kasher tzivisicha v'yachalto b'sharecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be telling the Yidden in the Midbar that you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to want to eat meat. It's okay for you to eat meat. Then he tells him that before you eat the meat, you should shecht it. So clearly, implied from this pasuk is that there was a before and after. There was something that was going to be okay, or something that was going to be necessary once the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, ki yarchiv Hashem alaykecha es gvulcha, that wasn't okay, or that wasn't necessary when the Yidden were in the Midbar. Meaning, when the Yidden were in the Midbar, if they wanted to eat meat, they followed this set of rules. Now you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, ki yarchiv Hashem alaykecha es gvulcha kasha dibelach, v'yomarta oichla basar. So now we have two psukim in the Torah, where the Torah describes what you're supposed to do. Now, what exactly the Torah is describing is unclear, and we're going to see it's a machlokes tanah. But one thing is clear, and that is that the approach to eating meat once the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael was different than the approach that the Yidden had towards eating meat when they were in the Midbar. So again, the first price. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, you know what this pasuk is coming to teach me? The pasuk is coming to issue a tremendous kula. To be matir basar taiva. Basar taiva means that if somebody wants to eat meat, he's not bringing a carbon per se. Basar chulin. Mesechtes chulin discusses basar taiva. Shabbatchilo. Rabbi Shmuel says, because what you're doing in the Midbar, they weren't allowed to eat basa taiva. It was only Mishinich Nesula Oretz who to learn basa taiva. When they entered Eretz Yisrael, then they were allowed to eat basa taiva. So the way Rabbi Shmuel understands the psukim is that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they were not allowed to have a steak dinner. You want meat? Bring a carbon? There's a certain part of the meat that's Nechal Abaylan. That's the meat that you're allowed to eat. But other than that, Basar Taiva was us. When it came to Eretz Yisrael, that's this Basar. Ki Archav Hashem Lekechaz Bukha Kasha Dibalach. Vi Amar Ta'oik LaBasar. Ki Sav Nafshach Lechal Basar. Bechol Tavas Nafshach Lechal Basar. Then it's already going to be okay to eat meat. Says the Gemara V'achshav Shagalu. Now that Yidden went to Galus, like today, we're in Galus. There was Galus Bavel. Now we're in Galus again. Yochli Yachsul Yisroel Rishoy. I would have thought, says the Gemara, that we should go back to the Isser that we had before we entered Eretz Yisrael. Before we entered Eretz Yisrael, we weren't allowed to eat basa taiva. Maybe today we shouldn't be able to eat basa taiva either. That's why the Mishnah had to say, la'olam sheichtim. La'olam meaning forever. Even when we're in Galus, there's an idea that we're allowed to shecht, meaning it's okay to eat basa taiva. So Rabbi said, you know what the Mishnah means when it says la'olam sheichtim? It's going b'shitas Rabbi Yishmael. Who holds that when the other were in the Midbar, they weren't allowed to eat basa taiva? It was only in Eretz Yisrael they were allowed to eat basa taiva. Based on that, I would have havamina that maybe when the Yidden went into Galus, that original Isser came back, and now we're not allowed to eat Basar Taiva again. It's always okay to shech, we're still allowed to eat basar taiva. Maskel for Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef has two kashas. Number one, hi lo'ilam sheichtin, lo'ilam sheichtin, lo'ilam yibayalei. The emphasis should not be lo'ilam sheichtin, it should be on lo'ilam eichlin. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that you would have thought, just like there was an isser to eat basar taiva before the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, so maybe now that we left Eretz Yisrael, that isser, what isser? Isser achila. So really, the chiddush is not lo'ilam sheichtin. The chiddush is lo'ilam sheichtin va'eichlin. If that's the case, by the Mishnah only saying lo'ilam sheichtin and not lo'ilam sheichtin va'eichlin, it's ikur chaser min ha-sefer. So Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi, it's not mashma that the Mishnah's chiddush of lo'ilam sheichtin is coming to tell me that there's a heter achila in galus, because then the Mishnah would have said lo'ilam sheichtin va'eichlin. Va'oid, but Rabbi Yosef also asked the lamdisha question. He said, Mikara, my time of itzer. What's the reason that when the Yidu were in the midbar, they weren't allowed to eat basar taiva? They came to Eretz Yisrael, now they're allowed to. It was a din in Eretz Yisrael, like this mitzvah atluyos ba'aretz. Trumas, Maisra, Shvias, Arlo, Kilei Akerem. What? You're going to tell me somehow that eating meat is clear as baritz? Of course not. What's the reason? The reason is like the Pasuk suggests. Mishum Davi Mekar Vilamishka. Because when the Yidu were in the Midbar, it wasn't such a big deal to get meat. You're going to tell me you can't eat Basa Taiva? Everybody lived in close proximity to the Mishkan. As a result, you're in the mood of a shtick flesh. Go to the Mishkan, bring a carpet. Once the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, ki yarchav Hashem alekeches gvulcha kasher dibelach. Now already you live far away from Yerushalayim. You're living in Bnei Brak. You live it's too long for you to be able to go to Beis HaMikdash every time you want a piece of meat. As a result, there's going to be a head to eat basar taiva. If that's the case, my time is koshkin hashad archikulutfe. So does it make sense to say that now that the Yidden are in Golos, now it should be Osir again? To the contrary. Now that we're in Golos, it should certainly be Mutter. What's the reason it was Osir when the Yidden were in the Midbar? Because they were close to the Mishkan. So now that we're in Golos, it's true we're not in Eretz Yisrael, but are we close to the Mishkan again? No, to the contrary. Now it's impossible. It would be impossible to eat meat if there was no head to eat basar taiva. So in Svara, said Rabbi Yosef, Bishloima, if eating meat or not eating meat is totally in being in Eretz Yisrael or being in Chutz Laretz. So I hear the Havamini. You would have thought that once the Yidden went into Golos, so maybe the Isser Basa Taiva came back. But says Rabbi Yosef, the Isser Basa Taiva was never related to Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Laretz. It was related to the proximity that Klal Yisrael was to the Makom HaMikdash. As a result, if anything, the Svar is just the opposite. Now that the Yidden are in Golos again, so now it makes more sense that there should be a Heter Basa Taiva. I don't need a Mishnah to teach me a Chiddush of La'olam Sheikh. Elam Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef said that can't be Pshat in the Mishnah. Rather, what is Pshat in the Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva, he is going according to Shittas Rabbi Akiva, who explained those Pesukim and Parashas Re'eh differently than the way Rabbi Shmuel explained. Tanya, we learned to the Bryce. That's the second Pasuk that we read earlier. Rabbi Akiva said, the Pasuk is coming not to issue a kula, but rather to issue a chumrah, to tell me that it is no longer okay to eat meat without shechting it. Basa mechira was Chazal's way of describing eating meat that's not Eva ben Achai, so it's not Asa ben Noach, but at the same time it didn't have a proper shechit. Shevet chiva, when the Yidden were in the Midbar, hutal and basa mechira, it was okay to eat without shechita. Mishenichlesu la'aretz, once the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, nesel lehem basa mechira, then it was not okay to eat basa mechira anymore. And that's what the pasuk is coming to say. These two psukim in the Torah says Rabbi Akiva is not coming to be matir basa taiva. It was always mutter to eat basa taiva. In fact, if somebody wanted to eat basar taiva, he was able to eat it. He didn't even need shechita. He could eat it b'nechir ba'alma, as if to say there was no issur avela. What then is the chiddush of these psukim? The chiddush of these psukim is what the second pasuk says. Ki yirchak mincha mokam ashiyivcha Hashem lekecha losam shmoisham v'zavachto mipkarcha u'mitzoyncha. The chiddush is v'zavachto. Then now that you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have to do shechita again. Oh, okay. So what does that have to do with our Mishnah? It says, Rabbi Yosef, v'achshav shegalu, now that the Yidden are in Golos again, according to Rabbi Akiva, yochel yachzul l'terin arishay. I would have thought that maybe it should be mutter again to eat meat without shechita. V'kach shoninu. That's the chiddush la'olam sheichtim. It's coming to tell me that no, that it's not okay to eat meat without shechita, but rather la'olam sheichtim nechira ba'alma, although it was mutter when the Yidden were in the Midbar, it's not going to be mutter right now. In other words, the Gemara introduced a machloikis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva had to understand a few psukim tucked away in Parshas Re'eh, which really, more than anything else, has historical significance. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, if a Yid wanted to sit down and eat meat, not bringing a carbon, basar chulin, what the Gemara refers to as basar taiva, was that mutter or was that asar? According to Rabbi Yishmael, it was Asa. It was only when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael that they were allowed to eat Basa Taiva. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, they were not allowed to eat Basa. It's a very important sheet, this Rabbi Yishmael. They were not allowed to eat Basa Taiva when they were in the Midbar. They entered Eretz Yisrael with all the fringe benefits of living in Eretz Yisrael. One of them was the Yidden did not have to be vegetarians anymore. They didn't have to be vegans anymore. They didn't have to bring a carbon if they wanted a shtick flesh. Heretofore, they're allowed to eat Basar Taiva, if they so please. Rabbi Akiva holds, no, the Yidden were always allowed to eat Basar Taiva. Even when they were in the Midbar, they were allowed to eat Basar Taiva. Rabbi Akiva says, however, it was very different than it was once the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael. Because when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, like today, if you want to eat Basar Taiva, so you need a Shoychet, a Chalif, and Mesechtes Chulin, and Yerideya, so you need the whole spiel. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, they were allowed to eat Basar Taiva, afilu b'nechir ba'alma. And really, the core of the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is how to understand a few psukim that are unclear, tucked away in Parshas Re, and as it relates to our sugya, because our Mishnah said, la'olam shoichtem, and we have machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef, how to understand, what's the chiddush of la'olam shoichtem? Rabbi explained the Mishnah la'olam shoichtem according to Rabbi Shmuel, that there would have been a havamina according to Rabbi Shmuel, that Basar Taiva was asur in the Midbar. Maybe now that the Yidden went to Galus, Basar Taiva is again. So maybe today we're not allowed to eat Basa Taiva. Kamash Malon La'olam Shoichtim. Really emphasis on La'olam Shoichtim V'Oichlin. That it's okay to eat now. Rabbi Yosef explained the mission according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, that before the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they were allowed to eat Basa Taiva even without Shechita. So there would have been a Havamina again. Now that we're in Golas, maybe it's weiter okay to eat without Shechita. Kamash Malon, no, La'olam Shoichtim. That we're not going back because we're in Golas to the status that we were in when we were in the Midbar. But rather, if the Yid wants to eat meat today, it's okay. But at the same time, it has to be done b'shechita. But Maiko Miflugi says the Gemara, now inside, Rabbi Kiva Sava, Basar Taiva La Yitzhak Klal. Rabbi Kiva holds Basar Taiva was never Asar. Rabbi Shmuel Sava, Rabbi Shmuel says Basar Nechira La Yishtari Klal. Basar Nechira was never Mutter. Again, it's the same thing, just in different words. And now the Gemara is going to go through several psukim in the Torah and try to reconcile it according to Rabbi Shmuel and according to Rabbi Kiva. And the truth is, we're going to do what we do, but if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi embellishes everything that the Gemara says, because there's really many, many psukim that if you want to do this properly, you'd have to work out both according to Rabbi Shmuel and both according to Rabbi Akiva. Either way, Zok to Gemara. Bishloi b'le Rabbi Shmuel. Hainu d'chsev v'shachet es ben abakar. It says in Parshas Vayikra, with regards to Shechitas Kotchim, that before you bring a carbon, you have to shecht it. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, that there was shechita even in the Midbar, I understand the shachat as ben abakar. Elul Rabbi Akiva, that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they were allowed to eat even b'nechira ba'alma. They didn't have to do shechita, my v'shachat. What does v'shachat mean? So the Gemara gives the obvious answer, kachim shayni. No, that's kachim. Rabbi Akiva never said there was no concept of shechita in the Midbar. Of course there was. Parshas Vayikra. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, they brought a carbon in the Mishkan. Of course they needed shechita. All Rabbi Akiva is saying is that if somebody wanted to eat basar chulin, he wanted to eat basar taiva, then nechira ba'alma was good. For, that was the first kash. Second kash, Bishlam the Rabbi Shmuel, Hanu dechsev atzoyim v'ha'ubakar yishachalem. The context is the slav. So the Yidden were complaining, they didn't want them on. So Hashem says, I'm going to send them slav. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem, he says, atzoyim v'ha'ubakar, who's going to shecht all these animals? Who's going to shecht all these animals? According to Rabbi Akiva, there was no shechit in the Midbar. El Rabbi Akiva, my atzayim, ubaka yishachi lehem, yinachar lehem yibayilei. You don't need shechita. So the Gemara says, nechira shalehem zuhi shechitasa. We take for granted that shechita means the way it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. But really, it's not what it means. Shechita means whatever you're obligated to do before you eat the animal. The halachic preparation of the animal is what shechita is. Today, it means what Mesechtes Chulin dictates. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, where Nechira Ba'alma was okay, then Nechira Shalahem Zuhi Shechitasam. Then the word Shechita didn't necessarily mean what it means today. The point is, Yishachit doesn't mean Shechitas Roiv of the Beis Imanim. Shechita means preparing it in the way that the Torah dictates to prepare. And Chanami, according to Rabbi Akiva, in the Midbar, that meant Nechir Ba'al would be okay. Bishlami, the Rabbi Yishmol, the third kasha, Hainu de Tanan, HaShoichet v'nisnavol b'yodeh. If somebody was shechting a chaya, and it became an avelo, v'hanoicher v'ma'akir, or it was a treifa, or he, point is, he didn't shecht it properly. Potter v'lechasas, he's potter from Kisui Hadam. So according to Rabbi Yishmol, I understand why you're potter from Kisui Hadam. You didn't do a shechita. El Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, am I potter v'lechasas? What's the kasha? I am the chayra, being that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they didn't have a mitzvah shechita yet. So if that's the case, there would have been no difference between what we call shechita and nechira. And either way, being that the Torah says there's a mitzvah of kisei adam, that mitzvah would relate even to a nechira ba'alma. Because in the Midbar, all there was Nechir Ba'alma for Chulin. And if there's a mitzvah of Kisei Adam, Kisei Adam is not referring to Kachem, because you only have Kisei Adam by a Chaya, and you never bring a Chaya as a carbon. So obviously, it's referring to Chulin. And by Chulin, all you have is Nechira. So if all you have is Nechira, how could you tell me there's no Kisei Adam by Nechira? All there was in the Midbar was Nechira. Thus, it's Muchach Lechura, that there was a concept of Shchitas Chulin, even when were in the Midbar. So Mishlam, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's good. But according to Rabbi Akiva, how does that make sense? So the Gemara says, no, Hayov Itzer Itzer. And Chanami, when the Yidden were in the Midbar, for Nechira Ba'alma, there would have been Kisei Adam, because there was a mitzvah Kisei Adam in the Midbar, and all there was Nechira, according to Rabbi Akiva, when the Yidden were in the Midbar. But now that Nechira is Aser, today the proper way to Shecht is with Shechita. As a result, the mitzvah of Kisei Adam would only relate to Shechita. One final kasha. Bishlam, Rabbi Akiva, Dama Basa, Taiva, Yitzhakah. Bishlam, I'm going to Rabbi Akiva that says Basa, Taiva was never Aser. I know, Dichsev, I understand the Pasuk. Because in that context, those psukim tucked away in Parash Yisrael. So when the Torah says that you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be okay to eat meat. It says, Ach kasha yeyochel es atzviva ha-esa ayol, ken tachlenu. Just like it's okay to eat the tzvi in the aisle, or just like you eat the tzvi in the aisle, so too, you should eat these behemoths. Elder Rabbi Yishmol, tzvi va'ayil gufei mihavishari. It sounds like the tzvi and the ayil were always mutter to eat. And we're saying that the behemoths are going to be like the tzvi and the ayil. So according to Rabbi Akiva, what it means is that the tzvi and the ayil always had shechita. And now, the behemoth is going to be treated like the tzvi in the aisle. You're not going to have the heter of nechira. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, that all basar taiva was aser, sounds like all meat was aser, even the meat of a tzvi and an aisle. So what are we saying? That now you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, basar taiva is going to be mutter like the tzvi in the aisle? Why would the tzvi in the aisle have been more mutter than any behemoth? So the Gemara says, yeah, you have to say, according to Rabbi Shmuel, ki aser achmada behemoth, the chazil hakrav. Even Rabbi Shmuel that said the basar taiva was also in the midbar, it was only basar behemoth, which is chazil hakrav, which is something that's right to go on the Mizbech. But a chai which anyone wasn't chazi lakrova, the Asr Achmano, via the Torah, never Asr. It's Okta Gemara. Boy Rabbi Yirmi, another classic Gemara. Evari basa nechira, shehech nisa Yisrael, imam laaretz ma'u. So Rabbi Yirmi asked the Shaila, according to Rabbi Akiva, that when the Yidim were in the Midbar, they were allowed to eat basa nechira. You didn't have to have a kosher shechita. What happens if somebody in the Midbar took his food to go, and now he comes there, it's Israel, and he has basa nechira from the Midbar? He's in Eretz Yisrael. Could he eat it or can he not eat it? I mean, on the one hand, he's in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it's awesome. But then again, the Nechira happened in the Midbar at the time that Basa Nechira was Mutter. So the Gemara says, Eilas, let's go through this. Eileva b'sheva shekavshu. Are we discussing the first 7 years that the Yidden were in Eretz Yisrael? The 7 years where Yeshua ben Nun and Elazar Kohen Gadol and the troops were conquering Eretz Yisrael. Hash the davar tami ishtaru lahem. Madoch, any davar aser was mutter for them to eat during that time period. The Chsev, how do you know that? As the Pasuk says, who bought him Malayim Kalto. The Pasuk says you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to walk into the houses and the huts that the Umayyads lived in and you're going to see a lot of good things. Everything other than Avodah Zarah you're allowed to take. You're allowed to take the Batim Malayim Kalto. So Madoch, you're allowed to take their Batim Malayim Kalto. And what does that mean, by the way? Amar Rabbi Yirmi bar Abba Amar Rav, Afilu Kali de Chaziri, even Chazer. Even chazer flesh they were allowed to eat. So madach they were allowed to eat the chazer of the members of the Shiva Ha'umai. So kal v'chaymer, if they took their own bas and achira from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, it should be okay. So what are we discussing? Says the Gemara, lo achem yikan. It means that this person had this piece of meat sitting around for more than 7 years. The point is, Rabbi Yirmi wanted to know, would it be okay or would it not be okay to eat it? Alternatively, Rabbi Yirmi Yishayla was the Loilam Hashem Shekavshu. Now, he didn't mean somebody has his meat for so long, but rather, Rabbi Yirmi held Ki Ishru Lushal Shalavi Kechavim. It's true, the Pasuk says about the Malayim Kolto that the Yidden were allowed to eat even Kadli the Chaziri of the Kenanim. But that's only because it was the Shalal, it was the spoils of the Ovdei Kechavim. However, at the same time, the Dula Yishtru, it doesn't mean that the laws of Machalas Asuras were completely off limits. Meaning, there's limitations to the halacha of Afilu Kadli de Chaziri. It's referring to the spoils of the Ovdei Kechavim. Ubatim Leim Kol Tov Luchud, and all other Machalas Asuras Luchud. So of course, Rabbi Yirmiyah knew that when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, there was a tremendous Kula, as it relates to the laws of Machalos Asuras. But it doesn't negate completely the laws of Machalos Asuras. And as a result, Rabbi Yirmi wanted it all. Even Rabbi Akiva. If somebody took with him Basa Nechira from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, what would be the halacha? And the Gemara, like it often does with a lot of Rabbi Yirmi, Yishayla says, Teiko, Amar Rava, Rava said, Shanisa, So Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both said pshat in Hakol Shoichtim Ula Oilam Shoichtim. Said Rava, you explain Hakol Shoichtim and you explain Lo Oilam Shoichtim. Bakol Shoichtim, my Mashnah's lay, right? The Mishnah said Hakol Shoichtim Ula Oilam Shoichtim and Bakol Shoichtim. What's the third? The Chitim, you're going to tell me. Maybe Bakol Shoichtim means Bein Betzur, Bein Betzchuches, Bein Betkroy Mishal Kana, that you're allowed to Shecht with any implement you want to. And the truth is, the Gemara and Af Tezvav Amidbeis brought a Braisa that said those words. The Braisa said Bakol Shoichtim. The Braisa said it clearly. So maybe that's what Bakol Shoichtim is coming to say. But the Gemara said it's not mashma that. Why? Because how dumya the Hanach Ketani. Rav Tainit that Hakol Shoichtim, La'olam Shoichtim, and Bakol Shoichtim should all be besignun echad. How so? Because I Hanach b'Shoichtim, Hainami b'Shoichtim. If the Hakol Shoichtim and La'olam Shoichtim are describing the process of the Shechita, the Shoichet, or the way the Shechita is being done, then Bakol Shoichtim could also describe that. But V'i Hanoch bin Ishchotim, but if Hakol Shoichtim and La'olam Shoichtim are describing not the Shoichet, or the way the Shechita is done, but rather than a Shechatim, it's describing the animal that requires Shechita, which is the way that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef explained it, Hakol Shoichtim, even an oif, that's a nishchat. Even an oif needs shchita. La'olam shoichtim, even after galus, still there's a concept of shchita. Then hainami bin nishchatim. Then bakol shoichtim should also be referring to v'nishchatim. And it's not, because if it means bein betzur, bein betzchuches, bein betkreim, that it's not describing the nishchatim, but rather it's describing the shoichtim. Elam Rava. So Rava said, because of this kasha bothered him so much, he said that I have to learn Pesach the Mishnah differently. Hakol, bakol, mikol, right? We're going to have to explain it not like Rabba, not like Rav Yosef, but rather it's going to be a third shot. Rather, hakol shoichtim, when it says in the Mishnah, hakol shoichtim, what's it coming to be? Mar b'chodol lasuye kuti, v'chodol lasuye yisrael. What's the chodah and the chodah? There's only one Hakol Shoichtim. So Rashi, we're referring back to the first words of the Masechta. Hakol Shoichtim Ushchita Asik Sheira. Meaning, it said Hakol Shoichtim twice. And we had a whole daf and a half of Gemara where the Gemara went into detail, a big machloikas amiram, exactly what Hakol Shoichtim was coming to be marba. Says Rava, the way I see it is that we have two Hakol Shoichtims. Let's refer back to the previous sukkah. We won't do that, but just remembering that there was a whole tumble, had exactly to explain the words Hakol Shoichtim in the beginning of the Masechta. One pshat was Lasuye Kuti. Oh, by the way, that was Rava's pshat. Remember, Abai and Rava both learned that Hakol Shoichtim Shchitasik Sheira is coming to be Marba Akuti. So Chada, this is Rava Lishitasai, is Lasuye Kuti. The Chada, and the other one is Lasuye Yisrael Mummer. What kind of Yisrael Mummer? This is a Yisrael that's a Mummer Liteyavoy. He's a Mummer. He's someone that is Nichshol in Aveilois. You would have thought that somebody like that would be disqualified from being a Shoichet. We saw Chiddush is brought down Halacha. He's not disqualified from being a Shoichet. As long as somebody's watching him, it's okay for him to Shech. Who was the one that said that? If you remember, on Daf Gimel, it was Rava. So much so that the Gemara asked the Kasha that if Rava himself is the one that holds that a Mummer, Oichel Neveilos Lateyoven, is Kasha to Shech, why did he explain the Mishnah Hakol Lasuye Kuti? Why didn't he learn, like Ravashi in that Sugya, and say that Hakol is Lasuye Mummer? Here, Rava himself comes around, and Rava says that even though the first Hakol Shoich then I believe was Lasuye Kuti, but the second Hakol Shoichtim is Lasuye Mumar Gishmak. La'olam Shoichtim, when the Mishnah says that, it means Bein Bayim, Bein Balayla, Bein Bereish Agag, Bein Bereish Asvinah. The Gemara brought this price earlier in the Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. U'Bakol Shoichtim is Bein Betzur, Bein Betzchuches, Bein Betkreim Mishal Kana. The point is what Rava did that satisfied him more than Rabbi Rav Yosef's Pshat, they're all describing the Shoichtim. One is, who could Shecht? A Kuti and a Mumar. The other one is, when could you do the Shechita? At night, Bereish Agag, Bereish Asvinah. And the third one is, how to do the Shechita? Bein Betzur, they're all describing the Shoichtim as opposed to some describing the Nishchatim and only Bakol Shoichtim describing the Shoichtim Exel. Either way, so this Gemara that we just learned and did what we did has in it a lot of Yisoidis, really a lot of Shas takeaways. Number one, the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, how to explain the psukim tucked away in Parashas Re'eh. Clearly there was a before and after in terms of if a Yid wanted to eat meat, basar taiva, when he was in the Midbar, versus if a Yid wanted to eat meat, basar taiva, when he came to Eretz Yisrael. The psukim are a little bit unclear. And thus, a very important machloik is between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, how to understand the psukim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, when the Edom were in the Midbar, they were not allowed to eat basar taiva. You wanted to eat basar taiva, which the Gemara clarified, meaning basar behema, you would have to bring a carbon. If you didn't bring a carbon, there was no way for you to eat basar taiva. Once you didn't enter Eretz Yisrael, ki yarchav Hashem alekechaz gvulchal kashat ibalach, v'amarta oichla basar, then already b'chol avas nafshach otoichal basar. When the Yidin were in the Midbar, they were not allowed to eat basar taiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, when the Yidin were in the Midbar, they were allowed to eat basar taiva. Not just that, min akotza el akotza. They could eat basar taiva, they didn't even eat shchita, even a chir ba'alma. Well, it's going to be okay. What changed when the Yidin entered Eretz Yisrael? That when the Yidin entered Eretz Yisrael, like the pasuk there says, ki yirchak b'mcha ha'mokim ha'shivcha Hashem alokecha l'asim sh'ma yisham, v'zavachto mibkarcho mitzoyncha Hashem nasan Hashem alokecha. Now already you have to do shchita. Whereas when the Yidin were in the Midbar, they didn't eat shchita. Now that the Yidin are in Eretz Yisrael, they needed shchita. That's the first important takeaway from the sugya. The second important takeaway from the sugya is that the Gemara says that when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael for the first 7 years, during the time that they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to eat anything that they found in the houses of the Canaanim. Ubatim aleim kol tov, the Torah says, you're going to find a lot of good stuff. You're allowed to take it. You're allowed to keep it. Besides for the Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is hachrim tacharime v'shakitz t'shakatzenu. That you have to get rid of. But other than the Avodah Zarah, everything else you were allowed to take. And the Gemara says, afilu kadli d'chaziri. Even pieces of chaz, literally. Even that was okay to eat. Bottom line is that chulin daf tez zayin and chulin daf yud zayin are often quoted. Incidentally, this sugya sometimes is quoted as chulin daf tez zayin, and sometimes it's quoted as chulin daf yud zayin. Not to get too technical, but why? Because Rabbi Shmuel's sheet is chulin daf tez zayin, Rabbi Kiva's sheet is chulin daf yud zayin, right? So Rabbi Shmuel is mentioned on tez zayin of a base, Rabbi Kiva's mentioned on daf yud zayin of an aleph. Either way, a few ha'aris. Number one. So if you take a look at Rashi, and really the Gemara already started doing this, there's going to be many nafkemidas how to understand Psukei HaTorah. If you are mefarish the Psukim Aliba the Rabbi Shmuel versus if you mefarish the Psukim Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. And those Psukim are primarily in Parashas Re'eh. But there's another very important parasha in the Torah where it comes out a very big nafkemina lahalacha how to understand Pshutai Shal Mikra. Shnayim Mikra ve'echot Targum. Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael versus Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. And that is Parshas Achremois, the Parsha of Shchutei Chutz. The Torah says as follows. Ish ish mi beis Yisrael, ashe yishchat shor oi kesef oi eiz b'machane, oi ashe yishchot mi chutz l'machane. So the Yidur in the Midbar. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Klal Yisrael. And he says as follows. If a Yid is going to shecht shor oi kesef oi eiz, a behema, b'machane, he's not going to bring it as a carbon. This person is going to be chayiv karts. What we know as the halach of Shchutei Chutz, that if somebody shechts a behema outside of the azara, he's going to be chayiv karts. Zok Rashi. It's pasha. We learned the whole parak already. The 13th parak in Masechta Zvachim that goes through all these halachas that obviously when the Torah says that if somebody shechts an animal outside of the Azari, he's chayiv karas. We don't mean someone who shechts chulin, you're allowed to shecht chulin, but we're talking about an animal that's kachim. Being that it's kachim and has a din to bring it al pesach hayomai, this person did not bring it al pesach hayomai. So the Torah, dam yichashev leishahu dam shafach, the nichras hayishahu mikerev amai, loyaleinu. It's like he ate chametz on Pesach. It's like he ate on Yom Kippur. He's going to be chayiv karas for what he did. But zok Rashi ben muktosh makasim medaber. It's pashit. We're dealing with hektish. Zok the Ramban in his pirush al Torah right here in Rashi. I don't know why it's so pashit to you, Rashi, that this parsha in the Torah is ben muktoshim hakasim medaber. As if to say it's pashit. You're allowed to shecht chulin b'machina. It's only kachim that you're not allowed to shecht b'machina. And freaked the Ramban, Hotenach, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they were allowed to eat Basar Taiva. So it's true. It wasn't Asr to shecht an animal that was chulin b'machane. Must be when the Torah says the parish of Shchutei Chutz talking to the Yidden in the Midbar, what it meant was b'muktashim akasa b'daber. Oh, but Frank the Ramban said on nochah shita in Mesechtes Chulin daf tez ayin b'beis. And that's shita's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds that Basar Taiva was Asr when the Yidden were in the Midbar. If Basar Taiva was Asr, says the Ramban, it's yitachin that when the Torah says that there was an Isr Shchutei Chutz for a Yid to shecht an animal in the Mach, doesn't only mean b'muktashim hakasim medaber. But it would be true for shchitas chulin as well. As Dr. Ramban, to me, I think that aliba d'Rabbi Shmuel, there would be an iser chorus if somebody shechts chulin in the machane. Okay, according to Rabbi Kiva, not. According to Rabbi Shmuel, yeah. And Ramban brings many, many rayas that he believes the ikur pshat is Rabbi Shmuel's pshat, not Rabbi Kiva's pshat. And he concludes as follows: Avol derech yishuv hamikroyis al oifaneim v'derech hachomim b'hagodos uberoiv hamikoymos k'moisha pirashnu. There's many divrei hagoda and there's many psukim that are very mashmal, like I'm saying, and as meaning. Like Rabbi Shmuel Shita, not like Rabbi Kiva Shita. And being that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Basa Taiva was also in the Midbar, it's Mistabra, says the Ramban, that there would have been an Isser Chorus if somebody shechted Chulin, somebody shechted Basa Taiva in the Midbar. Unbelievable. Meaning, the Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, plays itself out in terms of how to understand the parasha of Shchutei Chutz. We take for granted that Shchutei Chutz is Dafka Kotchim. And that's what Rashi says in Chumash. But the Ramban, in his Pirush al HaTorah, said that really it's totally in the Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. It's true. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's only B'muktashim HaKasa B'daber. Because Basa Taiva was Mutter. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, that Basa Taiva was Mutter when the other were in the Midbar, says Ramban, I'm going to take, say, a Chiddush al Gav Chiddush. Not only was Basa Taiva Aser, but if somebody shechted Basa Taiva, he was Chayv Tkaris, he'd be over the Isser Shchutei Chutz. In other words, Rashi was Mefarish the parasha of Shchutei Chutz, Aliba Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel, the Ramban was Mefarish the parasha of Shchutei Chutz, Aliba the Rabbi Shmuel. And the Ramban says that the reason he's being Mefarish the parasha, Aliba the Rabbi Shmuel, is because Derech Yishuv HaMikro'os al Oifaneim, V'Derech HaChomim B'Hagodos U'Beroiv HaMikoimos, K'moisha Pirashna. I saw in the Lutzker Rav, does Naim L'Torah, so he says a Dover Nifla. He says, we know Halachak Rabbi Akiva Mechaveira. So whenever there's a machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and his Bali Plukta, the Halach is always like Rabbi Akiva. If that's the case, Lachur, Rashi's right. Rashi was Mefarish to Psukim like Rabbi Akiva. The Ramban was Mefarish to Psukim like Rabbi Yishmael. If Halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechaveroi, then you would think Rabbi Akiva was right. If Rabbi Akiva was right, then it's more Mestaber to be Mefarish to Psukim like Rabbi Akiva. Why is Ramban be Mefarish to Psukim like Rabbi Yishmael? And the Lutzkerov said something that only the Lutzkerov could say. He says you have to be Medayik L'Shoyne Hazov Shal Ramban. The Ramban said that the reason he thinks that Rabbi Yishmael is the Ikrib Shat is because Derech Yishuv HaMikrois Al Oifaneim V'Derech HaChomim B'Hagodois Uberoiv HaMekoyim is Kamei Shapirashno. Because it's Mashma from Divrei Hagodo. This is really Divrei Hagodo. It's not Divrei Halacha. My Dahava Hava. As a matter of fact, Rashi asks Akash, Rabbi Yirmi wanted to know that if somebody brings an flesh that he shecht, that he didn't shecht in the Midbar, and now he brought it into Eretz Yisrael, is it mutter to eat or is it not mutter to eat? So Frank Rashi, why does it matter? Matahava hava. What was Rabbi Yirmi Yishayla really? So Rashi says, Dorish v'kibol scharu, she'tzrichen onu lamed al ho'emes, va'aval pisha kfar ova. The Rosh argues. The Rosh comes up with an afkevina la'locha, even b'zman hazeh. The inkam v'koymer. But that's what Rashi says, because technically it's matahava. So this is really more a matter of agada. It's history. What was? When the Yidden were in the Midbar, so were they allowed to eat meat? Were they not allowed to eat meat? Okay, sounds like an interesting Shiloh. The Tanam argued about it, but the point is, we're dealing over here with Haggadah. And says the Lutzker Rav, that we all know the Gemara, it's in three places, where the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva said something with regards to Haggadah. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer. Akiva, Malucha Eitzel Agada, Klach Eitzel Negoim V'Aholis. So Pashi learned that Rabbi Akiva was so great. That Rabbi Akiva says, was it one Tzvardeya? Was it many Tzvardeya? Right, the different contexts where the Gemara brings it. Malucha Eitzel Agada, said the Lutzgerav, that I think Shteita on that Gemara, that even though Rabbi Akiva had a tremendous Kayach when it came to Negoim V'Aholis, maybe when it came to Agada, he didn't have the same Kayach. And that was Akiva Malucha Eitzel Agada. Your koyach is in a garden v'holis. Your koyach is not in a garden. So although it's true halachic Rabbi Kiva mechaveroi, but when is halachic Rabbi Kiva mechaveroi? That's when it's halacha. But when it comes to a hagada, maybe that you don't say halachic Rabbi Kiva mechaveroi. The Ramban's proof was derech yishuv amikrois al oifaneim v'derech hachomim behagados uberoiv amikoymes k'moshe pirashno. His hechrach was from hagada. Oh, hagada, then you don't have halachic Rabbi Kiva mechaveroi. Because when it comes to hagados, Malucha Eitzel Hagodos Klach Eitzel Ruyin Hadvarim Lemisha Avram. The Lutzker Rav right here in Parshas Achrimos. That's the first ara. The second ara is, so we have over here the halacha, the idea that when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael during the Shevesh Kavshu, they were allowed to eat Batim Meleim Kol Tov Afilu Kadli the chazir. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Ches Halacha Aleph, says the Rambam as follows. This is Halacha Lameis. Chalutzei Hatzofa. So if there's a Jewish army, Kishayichnesu Bigvul Hagoyim, if they're going to enter the territory of non-Jewish nations, V'yichdeshu Oysam, they'll conquer them. V'yoshvu Mehem, and they're going to settle there. Mutu Lehem Lechon Nevelos U'treifes, U'basa Chazer U'kayo Hitzabay. They're allowed to eat whatever they want to eat. Everything's all limit, off limits. They can eat Nevelos and Treifes, Basa Chazer, Imroiv, as long as they're hungry. V'loi Matza Mayoichal, and they don't have anything else to eat. Elo Macholi Seilu Asu. Now the Kesem Mishnah says we're not dealing with Pekuach Nefesh, because if we're dealing with Pekuach Nefesh, then obviously they're allowed to eat whatever they want. So we're Hacha B'mayaskinon, where it's not Pekuach Nefesh, you have Chalutzei Hatzofa. They enter the Gvul Hagoyim. They're going to conquer the land. They're going to settle in the land. There's Nevelois, there's Trefois, there's Basach Chazer. They're allowed to eat whatever they want. There's one condition. They have to be hungry. Two conditions. But as long as they're hungry and there's nothing else to eat, then it's going to be Beseder. And if they want, they can drink Yayin Nesach as well. And the Rambam's Gersa was Arfi Chazirim. In other words, the Rambam held that this halacha, that when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, during the Zion Shek Kivshu, they were allowed to eat Batim Aleim Kol Tov, it wasn't only during that 7-year period. But this is Hilchas HaMashicha. This is a halacha l'dayros, that every single time the Yidden are going to be fighting a war, Chalutzei Hatzava, the Rambam brings us in his Yad Chazaka, in Perek Ches Halacha Aleph and Hilchas Malachim, as long as the soldiers are hungry, and they don't have kosher food, it's okay to eat nevelos, treifes, basachazet. They don't have to be hungry. Obviously, we're not dealing with pekuach nefesh. We're dealing, do I have to be uncomfortable? You don't have to be uncomfortable. You don't have to be hungry. It's okay to eat it, and it's a pasuk in the Torah. Mipiashmu alamdu, batim aleim kol tov, arfi chazirim ukayoytze behem. The Ramban, in Parashas Vaaschanah, brings this Rambam Shita, and the Ramban asks many kashas on the Rambam. Read it inside. Ve'in zeh nochay, says the Ramban. Sheloi b'shvil pekuach nefesh, oy ro'ovoin bilvad huter b'shas milchama. It's not so posh. The Rambam seems to say that as long as you're fighting a war and you're hungry, now all of a sudden it's going to be mutter to eat the macholos asuras. Says Ramban, I disagree. This was only true as it related to milchemes mitzvah. And not only any milchemes mitzvah, but that milchemes mitzvah in the year they were conquering Eretz Yisrael. There was a rasha. During that time period, it was going to be okay. But anything other than that, of course, says Ramban, is not okay. There's no such halacha of chalutzei tzava without any parameters. Is it milchemes mitzvah? Is it milchemes rishos? Right? Who is the one who passed the resolution that you can go fight a war? I mean, the Rambam doesn't give us any information. The Rambam says, as long as we're wearing a uniform, I mean, what's the criteria? I'm not going to give any criteria. Says the Ramban, Chalila, that's not what it means. What it means is, if there's a Mechemes Mitzvah, the Yidden went to war, Al-Pi'ur V'tumim, and that happened one time. That war was okay, says the Ramban. But any other war, avada, this halacha is not going to be true. And then the Ramban says, V'chein Yayin Nesach Shehizker, the Rambam says that they're allowed to drink Yayin Nesach, Eino Yemes. It's not true, says Rabban. Shekoli suri avoy dezoro. He atzma u'mishamshel v'tekredesh la'akol asamiyad. Of course they weren't allowed to drink Yayin Nesach. Because Yayin Nesach falls under the category of avoy dezoro. And the pasuk says, shakitz teshakzenu. V'sayiv tesavenu kicherimu. V'mloy nischabin arav elahat testam yenu b'mochomo. So says Rabban, maybe the Rambam didn't mean Yayin Nesach, real Yayin Nesach. He mean like what we refer to as Yayin Nesach. The guy that looked at the wine, so now all of a sudden it became Yayin Nesach. Frank the Ramban, the Rambam had to say that. Yisurei Torah Hutru. Right, the Rambam already says you're allowed to eat nevelos and treifes, and you could even eat chazal flesh. Zerish shel devreim you asuras. What did be a habamina that stam yenam would be aser? So says Ramban, I don't know. He asks other kashas as well. He doesn't understand the shitzram. Bottom line is a very important machlekes. According to the Rambam, this halacha of afilu kadi chazir was only true during the 7 years that the Yidden conquering Eretz Yisrael. While kopanim lechemes mitzvah, according to the Rambam, it's true for all chalutzei tzava. There's no parameters. As long as this is a Yiddish army and they're fighting a war, le'ezet toyelas, that would be enough to have this halacha of batim aleim kol tov, that they're allowed to eat, like the Rambam says, as long as they're hungry and there's no other food to eat, mutar lehem lechol nevelos utrefos ubasar chazer v'chein shoyse yayin nesach. Unbelievable. In Minchas Chinuch, in mitzvah, tof, kuf, chof, tech, zayin, has a tremendous arichos on this machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban. And one of the kashas that he asks is gevaldik. He asks a kasha that we're all familiar with the parsha of Geulei Midian. So parsha's matlis after the Yidden, Tsroris HaMidyanim, the Kisoisa. So after Yidden defeat the Midyanim, they come back and they had a lot of Kalim. And Hashem told Moshe, go tell the Yidden that before they use these Kalim, they have to go ahead and they have to kasher the Kalim. They have to kasher the Kalim. Now the truth is that before the Yidden fought Midyan, they had already fought Sichai Melech HaMoiri and Oig Melech HaBashan. And when they fought Sichai Melech HaMoiri and Oig Melech HaBashan, over there, Hashem never told them to kasher the Kalim. So, Frank the Mechaschinuch, what's pshat? Why is it that after they fought Midian, they were told to kasher the Kalim? When they fought Sichin and Oig, they weren't told to kasher the Kalim. Zok the Mechaschinuch. The pshat's pasha. And the emphasis, the Ramban already says this in Parshas Matos. Says Ramban, you know what the reason is? Because when they fought Sichai Melech HaMoiri and Oig Melech HaBashan, Amoiri and Bashan, those areas were part of Eretz Yisrael. And being that they were part of Eretz Yisrael, so it was included in the halacha of Batim Malayim Kol Tov. Being that it was included in the halacha of Batim Malayim Kol Tov, they were allowed to eat. There was no problem with the Kalim. What are you worried about? You worried there might be a Blia that's an Eina Ben Yoimah? You're allowed to eat Nevelos Utrefes Ubasa Chazer Kayotze. But you can even drink Yayin Nesach. You can do whatever you want. So if you can do whatever you want, Vashtetzach, there's not going to be anything wrong with the Kalim. It was Dafka by Midian. When they came to Midian, Midian wasn't part of the Shavomois. It wasn't part of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, half of a fell. As a result, Dr. Ramban in Parshas Matos, as quoted by the Minchas Chinuch and Tav Kuf Chav Zayin, over there was already an issue because now you don't have the Heter about the Malayim's cult of. But Dr. Minchas Chinuch, that's Pasha that the Ramban was saying this Lashitasa. The Ramban who says in Parshas Veschanan that the Heter about the Malayim's cult of is only true when the Yidden were conquering Eretz Yisrael. Oh, when Yidden were conquering Eretz Yisrael, they have this Heter of about the Malayim's cult of. So there you don't have to worry about kashering the Kalim either. When do you have to worry about kashering the Kalim? Where it's going to be some other form of Lachavan, like when they fought against the Midyanim. Thus you have the Parsha of Gulei Midyan. A beloit Ramban. That the Rambam says chalutzei tzava without any parameters, and the way all the achrenim amadayik in the Rambam, that the Rambam argued with the Ramban, he held that it's not unique to Mechames Mitzvah. It's even true for Mechames Rishot. Kal v'chaymer the melchama of Midyan. So l'chayra, if there was a heter of batim aleim kol tov, l'chayra, if there was a heter of kadli the chaziri, why did we need a parish of gulei Midyan? I'm a monav shach. And if there was a parish of gulei Midyan, why wasn't there a mitzvah hagala when it came to finding Sichai Melech HaMoir and Oig Melech HaBashan? And to answer this kasha, the Mechas Chinuch says a Geshmak HaChiddush. He says that if you medayik the Rambam's lashon, the Rambam says Chalutzei HaTzava Kishiyichnesu Begvul HaGoyim V'yichbeshu Oysam V'yashvu Mehen. Meaning, the Rambam says that it's not enough that they're fighting a war. They have to be fighting with the intent of conquering and settling. If the Yidden are going to settle in this land, then they can keep everything there. But they can't take the spoils, bring it home with them, if they have no intention of settling there. So even the Rambam, who had a very loose translation of this whole parsha, but at the end of the day, the Rambam says, it's only then, but otherwise, that's when the Yidden fought the Midyanim, so they had no intention of remaining there. This was a fight. It was nekama, keneged, what Bilam had done, what the Midyanim had done to them, with the Bnei Smayev, etc. So that was the purpose of the fight. That was the purpose of the fight. They had no intention of settling them. They didn't have the Hetu Batim Leim Koltov. But when they fought Sichai Melech HaMoiri and Oig Melech HaBashan, they're taking the lands. This is Evra Yarden. Oh, they're taking the land back. So that already falls into the category of the Yichbish Ois and the Yashvimehem. It's only there that it's going to be voted. But then the Minchas Chinuch has a punchline. Ready? Says the Minchas Chinuch that he says, I want to clarify Shaila. What would be, the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael during the Sheva Shekafshu, and they walk in and they find Eivah Menachai. They open up the refrigerator, so what's here? A nice piece of meat, a filet mignon, but it's Eivah Menachai. Would it be mutter or would it be? The Rambam says it's mutter to eat nevelos, trefes, basa chazer, you can even drink yayin esach. What about Eivah Menachai? Says it's mistaber to me that would be awesome. Why? Because then even the Benoyach's not allowed to eat. They were allowed to eat whatever the Benoyach was allowed to eat, that they could eat. But something that even was also to the Benoyach, it's not muchach, but that's what Michas Chinuch says. Michas Chinuch says it's mistaber to me that what was mutter out ubatam leim kaltuv was dvarim ha'asurim li Yisrael that were mutarim Benoyach, that suddenly became mutter. But something that was also to Benoyach as well, such as Eivah Menachai, that he thinks would be also. He says, if that's the case, I'm going to ask you a pliyatsu. The Ramban says that the reason there was a parsha of Geulei Midyan, and there was no parsha See where this is going? Of Hagala with Sichon and Oik was because there everything was mutter. It was Batim Aleim Kol Tov. You had nothing to worry about. It was Dafka Midian, which wasn't a milchama of the Zayin Umayis. So over there you already had and the Michas Chinuch answered it according to the Rambam. So we made it all work. I'm afraid the Michas Chinuch, if you're going to tell me that Eva Menachai is Osir even by Mochemes Mitzvah, they Vaita should have had a Kasha the Kalim. When it came to Oik Melech Abash and Sichon Melech Abari, why should they have Vaita have had a Kasha? Because of Blias of Eva Menachai. And he brings that somebody asked him this kasha. Sha'olani maskil echad. I'm assuming he means maskil, right? In the good sense. Im kain hadra kushyas haramban leduchto. Lama leitziva kadosh baruch al guulei klei sichon va'oig. Ve'ide ishteri. So Zayin was mutter because of Batim Aleim Kol Tov. But Havelu lahagila mishum shebishlu eva menachai. That's what this maskal echad asked him in Michas Chinuch. The Hishafti lo, he says in Michas Chinuch. I answered him, the be'emes eva menachai she'asu l'bnei noyach hu rak guf eva menachai. That is true, eva menachai is also. But it's only the actual piece of the eva menachai. Avel tzir v'tah. The Alfina Mikra the Hatmeyan, Oitam Ki Iker, Zerakli Yisrael. That was only said to Yisrael, the Hatarli Yisrael Nemra. Im King Tsir Vetamle Nessa Klaubne Noyach. The Svarazim of Ueres, be crazy, you place the Hilchas Evim and Achai Simon, Sam Beis, place you Ois Gimel, the Hadvar of Rurim. And for the Michas Chinuch, the worry you worried about, Blias of Evim and Achai. Blias of Eivim Menachai is not usher to a Benoyach. Because it's true, a Benoyach is not allowed to eat Eivim Menachai. But there's no Issa Blias when it comes to a Benoyach. This is the raid we spoke about last week. This was the Maisa with Dafla. That when Dafla became Rav in Frankfurt the Main, the first Shaila that was ever asked to him was there was a Tarnagoylus that jumped into this large vat of butter, and then the Tarnagoylus died, and they weren't sure what to do with the butter, and the Afla paskin that you can't give it to a guy. And everybody assumed that Afla said that because it was Basav Echolav, and Basav Echolav is not only Asav Achil, it's Asav Anah. So you now let her give it to a guy. But there was a whole tumult. They came to Afla, they told Afla that Basar Oif Echolav is only Asav Drabban, it's not Asav Dereisa. And Basav Echolav Drabban is Mutab Anah. So what's the problem? And Chassam Sefer brings in a tshuva, he doesn't refer to Afla by name, but he brings in a tshuva that Afla immediately says, no, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean that the issue was Basar Echolav. No, it's Basar Oif. It's only Asav Drabbanan. What I meant was is that I'm worried about the blios that may have come from the Tarnagoylus before he died. I think there may be blios in Eva Menachai. And Eva Menachai is on. The Chassam Sofer said he learned the Dover Chodesh that a Baal Chai is Maflit. That something that's a lie is not, because a Baal Chai is not Maflit. How are you going to have blios of Eva Menachai? So obviously, the Baal Chai is Maflit. And we spoke at a tshuva from the Yad Elazar. That was the Enochel of the Hafla. Rabbi Lazar Halevi Ish Horowitz. And he said that a lot of people had a problem with this psak. He said, because I hear that the Hafla said that the issue was Eva Menachai, but a Bliya of Eva Menachai? Why should a Bliya of Eva Menachai be also to a Benoyach? L'chayre, Bliya is not learned out from Tam Ki Iker. Tam Ki Iker is learned out primarily from Nishras HaNavar, from the parish of Nazar. That's the Yisrael Nemra. V'loy LeBenoyach. And Rabbi Elazar Halevi Ish Horowitz shried. He wrote a whole fascinating tshuva. He says, what? He says, of course not. It's just the opposite. He says, the only reason we need a chiddush of Tam Ki Iker is because we have Shiurim that were Nemra Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. And it's because of the parish of Shiurim that there's Halacha. And the shishim, and then you get into all these issues. But a benayach, the Rambam says, doesn't have shiur because they don't have a lachal moshe misinais, and as a result, they're also even b'mashu. If they're also b'mashu, then they don't need a chiddush. Of course, a bliya is going to be aser. In other words, the oilam was tining on the haflaz psak that the haflaz being mechadish that tam ki ikar is going to be aser. Is going to be aser. By Eva Menachai to Benoyach, they held, why should it be Yasser? And the Yad Elazar was defending the psak of his grace of Zayda, of the Hafla, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. And he told him, he says, no, I disagree. It's poshut that Tam Ki Iker is going to be Yasser. So is Tam Ki Iker Yasser for a Benoyach, or is it not Yasser for a Benoyach? Last week we had a Gvaldi Gemar Mokin, all this drama, and the Tshuva of Chassam Sofer, and the Tshuva from the Yad Elazar, and it seemed that the Pashtus was the way the Chassam Sofer was Mekabel the Psak of the Hafla, and the Hafla's Psak itself, with the defense of his grandson, Rab Elazar Halevi Ish Horowitz, everybody seemed to be of the opinion that it's Pashat, that Tam Ki Iker would be Aser when it comes to Benoyach. And here we have a Minchas Chinuch who answered this Maskol Echad, as a Kalachar Yad, Veheishavti Loi, the Be'em, it's Pashat. It's Pashat that there's no Bliya, there's no Tam Ki Iker when it comes to Eivim Menachai. Regardless, it seems to be a Festa Machlokes Achroinim. But on that note, Zokt the Gemara Vaiter, Chutz Mi Magal Ktsir, Vahamagera. the more technical part of today's daf. So the Mishnah was describing what kind of knives are okay and not okay to use for shechita. And the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to use a sekel, that's the sekel that was used for harvesting, nor can you use a megera, which is a saw. It says the Gemara, Avuah d'Shmuel, Pagan v'Shadar, Avuah d'Shmuel wanted to know what kind of pegam, what kind of notch in the blade of the knife would disqualify the knife, would make the knife possible. Now, why should a pegam be a problem? The reason is because you worry that the edge of the pegam, that little point of the pegam, may tear the simen, render it a treifa before it has an opportunity to do a kosher shechita. So Avuah d'Shmuel wanted to know. So he took knives and he was making pekimos in them. He was sending them to Eretz Yisrael and he wanted a telegram in return. It's okay, it's not okay. So pagam v'shadar, pagam v'shadar. Sholchule, they told him back. Eventually he was sending so many knives. So they wrote back to Kimagei Rishonino. The rule of thumb is very simple. The Mishnah says if it's like a saw, it's going to be a problem. But if it's not like a saw, it's not going to be a problem. What does that mean? So we'll see now in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, sakin sheyesh bo kimas harbe, a sakin that has many notches, titan kimageir, that's for sure a problem. That's kimageir shaninu. That's what a saw is. So that for sure is going to be a problem. She'im ba'elo pegima achas, what if it only has one pegima? So, oigeres, so the halacha is like this. If you try to take your fingernail and move it along the blade of the knife, if your fingernail is going to be gathered, that's what agaris means, legar in Aramaic means to gather, if it's going to get caught, right, in simple English, then it's going to be possible. Misuch seches, if it's not going to get caught, if you try going along the way, ksheira, it's going to be kosher. Says the Gemara, hechi dami agaris, hechi damya misuch seches. The Gemara further clarifies this. Amar Abelazar, agaris mishtei ruchais, misuch seches, miruach achas. If there's an edge on two sides, then it's going to be possible. If it's going to have a little edge on one side, then it's going to be kosher. If you have a picture, it makes this a lot simpler. But basically, the oigeres, the way they show it in the picture, is it has a V-shaped notch. And because it has a V-shaped notch, so the two edges, the two points of the V, they're going to end up having, unless you smooth it, unless you file it down, it's going to be a little pointy. And that point is what we're worried about maybe getting caught inside the trachea of the esophagus, and that's what can render it a trefa. If, however, it's not a V-shaped knot, but there's only one pointy edge doesn't bother me. Two pointy edges do, and the way the Gemara describes it is if you took your fingernail and you went across, it would get caught on two sides, that's what it calls a geris. If it only get caught on one side, that's what it refers to as misuch seches. Says the Gemara, but I don't understand. What's the svara? Maishna mishtei rucha is, why, if it has these notches on two sides, is it a problem? Because you worry the Mursha Kama Machlish, the one edge is going to cut the skin, or Mursha Basra Basa, and you're worried about the second edge, that little point maybe tearing a hole in one of the simanim. Miruch achas nami, all you need is one notch, you're going to have the same problem. Because if you have one sharp edge, Churfa de Sakina Machlish, Lucharia, the knife itself, the blade itself is going to make a hole in the skin, and then Mursha Basa. Right? What's the significance of two edges? The significance of these two edges are one itself is going to go through the skin, and it's the second one that's going to get it. So let's say there's only one edge. The point of the knife is going to go through the skin, and then the one little edge, that one notch that's there, is going to end up getting it. Zokta Gemara, the Kamarish of the Sakin, Enchanami. When we say that one edge is kosher, it means when that notch is at the point of the knife. So the point is that together with the point of the knife, when the point of the knife goes through, that's exactly when that notch is going through, so you have no notch tailing in the back of the knife that's going to tear the simen after the knife cut through the skin. But the Gemara says, soif, soif, ki azla machlisha, ki asa baza. We never really went through the technicalities of shechita, but one of the basic halachas of shechita is you have to be moilech umevi. You have to push it in and then come right back. So there's two actions. So the first action, even if it's at the shpetz, you're right. All it's going to do is it's going to cut through the skin. But why are you worried about that little piece, that little shtickle that wasn't filed down, that notch? Why aren't you worried about cutting it on the way back? So the Gemara says, "Going to holich v'loy hevi." Hachav b'mayaskina, where you were meilech and is that allowed? So Rashi says, "Yeah, there are times where you could do a kasher shechita without being meilech hevi." For example, the Gemara says, if you have a long knife, a sakun aruch, then you don't have to be meilech hevi. If you had a sakun aruch and there was one notch and it was it's a good kasha. Let me show you that. If there was one notch and it was at the corner, that would be the halacha. Amar Rav, shalosh midas pesakin. There are three types of knives that impact halacha. There's one that's oigeres; it gathers the fingernails, like we mentioned earlier. It has that V-shaped notch. As a result, there's two pointy edges. Lo yishchayt v'mshachat shchitas epsula. That's a problem, because that's really a suffix trefa. Misuch seches. We have the case where you only have the one notch. Lo yishchayt ba likatchila. Then it's not, then you shouldn't check the katchila v'mshachat shchitas ksheira. And again, like we said before, it's talking about where it was at the tip of the knife. Being it's at the tip of the knife, we're not really worried about. And where you were in moilach umevi. Then we have another case where if it was oilach, it was oil of a yoyred. You have notches, but they're smoothed out. You don't have any of those rough edges. You file down all the rough edges. Then it's even okay. I heard from you that Mesuchseches is possible. We heard Mesuchseches is kosher. So apparently there was a stira. Mesuchseches, that's with the one notch. So we heard it's kosher. We heard it's not kosher. The Gemara says, like kasher, like we said before. If you're meilech v'hevi, even one is going to be a problem. The only time it's okay if it's Mesuchseches is if you were meilech v'loy hevi. Amar le'Rav Acha b'Rei de'Rav Avi le'Rav Ashi, damyo le'sasa mai. So a sasa is a strand of wheat. And the sides of the strand of wheat are, they're edgy. They're not sharp, but they're edgy. So the question is, being that they're rough, right? They're a little bumpy, a little curvy. Is that a problem? If you have a knife that's curvy, is that okay? It's not okay. Now, if it's sharp, it has these pointy edges that we just discussed. So we're talking about where it doesn't have those pointy edges. Amalei. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi told Rav Acha b'Rei de Rav Avi, man, yavlam yibisrof, so you give me meat right now that you shechtu with such a knife, I'm ready to eat it. Amar Rav Chizdo. Minayin lebedik asak minatoyer. How do you know minatoyer that you have to check a knife? Shenemar. It's a pasuk describing Shol HaMelech. It's a Shmuel Aleph. And he's about to shecht, and he said, Ushchatetem bozeh v'achaltem. Rashi says, bozeh, this knife, he inspected the knife before you use it for shechita. Says the Gemara, pshito, kibbe dechi noka, treifa boi bedika. You need a pasuk to tell me you have to do bedika. Why do you do bedika? Because you're worried there might be a pgam. So what if there's a pgam, if there's a notch? It may tear a hole in one of the simanim, render the animal a treifa. So you need a pasuk then to tell me you have to do bedika. Fashteitzach, you have to do bedika. You have to do bedika, because otherwise you're running into an issue of a safik treifa. So Mara says, you're right. When Rav Chizda said, minayim lebedika sakim in a Torah, from a pasuk, he didn't mean the basic idea of Bedika, rather lo chacham kamina. He was coming to say, how do you know that you need to give it to a chacham to check? Maybe anybody could check. But the Gemara says, "Vamr Rabbi Yochanan, lo amr lahari sakin lo chacham elv likvayd shel chacham." We said that the only reason you have to show it to a chacham is for the covenant of a chacham. I mean, it's not deraisa. Now you're telling me that the pasuk that we're bringing from Shaul HaMelech is to teach me chacham. I thought chacham is not even a din deraisa. So the Gemara says, "You're right." But the Rabbanon ukras machta ba'amu b'marava batkele b'shimshcha. In Eretz Yisrael, they used to check knives under the sun. They would put it in water, and based on the waves that it created in the water, they'd be able to determine whether it was kosher or not. Rav Sheshes Badal Rabbeinu Lishnei. Rav Sheshes was a Summa, right? He was a Saginar. So he couldn't see it. What he would do is he would put the blade of his knife on his tongue, and he would know whether it had, what the notches were. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Badak Labachut Asayri. He had a way of doing it using the strand of a hair. Besura Amri. In Surah, they used to say, Bisra Achla, Bisra Livtaka. Very simple. What are you worried about? You want to see the impact this knife is going to have when it cuts meat. So let's cut meat and let's find out. You don't use your tongue, you don't use a sayri, you don't put it in water, you don't even look at it under the sun. The way you need to do it is bisra achla bisra lit amra papa tricha bedika a bisra vatufra. That when you do this bedika, so you have to do a bedika number one on flesh. Additionally, you have to use a fingernail vatlasa ruchasa, and you have to check all three sides. Ala dray zaitin. Amalei Rabbi Nila Rav Ashi. Amalei Rav Samad Brei de Rav Ashi Mishmach. The Amr Lamesh Meider Rava. I heard from you that you allegedly said in the name of Rava tricha bedika bisra. You have to do the bedika on meat, va'atufra, va'atlasa ruchasa. Amalei, so he told him back, Rav Ashi did, abisra va'atufra amri. I said that you have to do the bedika on meat and on tufra, va'atlasa ruchasa lo yamri. But I never said you have to check all three sides, just the sharp, the blade part of the knife. You don't have to check all three. Ikada amri, abisra va'atufra, va'atlasa ruchasa amri. Meshmei derava, it's that part lo yamri. Avinu Rav Acha b'rei derava, haviyasvi kamei derav Ashi. Aishu sakal kamei derav Ashi, live to go. They brought Rav Ashi a knife to check. Amalei derav Acha b'rei derava, bitka. So he told Rav Acha b'rei derava, you check it. Batka, so he checked it. What did he do? Atufra. He put it on his fingernail, va'abistra, on his flesh, va'at plus a ruchasa, and he checked all three sides. Amalese, he told him, yiyasher, v'chein omar Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana said, yiyasher, is what Rav Yemer said, atuf rabistra tricha, atlas a ruchasa loy tricha. You don't have to check all three sides. Why not? The kasha everybody's bothered with. Milo yomar Rav Zera, amash what we had on Daf Chesam and Alf. The Rav Zera said, Allah libin tzakim, v'shachem v'shachitasik shera. If somebody made a knife very, very hot, it was white hot, right? Libin tzakim. He made it very, very hot, and he shechted with it. So what's the halacha? Shchitasik shera. Why? Shechiduda kaidim lilibuna. Because even though we're concerned that maybe the heat of the knife is going to burn the simanim before it actually does the shechita, but we assume it happens the reverse. Chiduda is kaidim lilibuna. Kashalon, ha'ikud stadim. Right? The kasha was, why are you worried about their size? Varmina, what do we say? Beis ha'shechita meravach ravach. That as you shecht it, so the simanim spread aside, the sides of the knife never touch the simanim. Achanami, beis ha'shechita meravach ravach. So if there's a svara, beis ha'shechita meravach ravach, so you don't have to worry about the size heating it up. Based on that, it's not going to be an issue. A little more red? Oh,